Now let's change gears and look at a different type of question, and this is it. What does the Bible have to say about evolution, the Big Bang Theory, and universal expansion? Now we can be absolutely sure as to how the world was created. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." That's very clear, simple, and emphatic. God created the heaven and the earth. The scriptures do not argue the point or try to prove its truth. It plainly states the truth of the beginning of creation. In the truest sense, to create means to make out of nothing. It was out of nothing that God created the heaven and the earth. There was no big bang. There was nothing in existence that could have caused a bang. The Lord simply called heaven and earth into existence. Now let's read Colossians 1:12-17. "Given thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Now this portion attributes all creation to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we get the same truth in Revelation 10:5-6, which says, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." Now let's consider the words of the psalmist in Psalms 33:6-9. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." So, in addition to all the other portions that speak of the Lord creating all things, we have seen that the first book in the Bible, the last book in the Bible, and the middle book in the Bible all attribute the creation of the world to the Lord. Now, let's look at the creation of man in Genesis 1:26-27. "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Again, these words are very clear, simple, and emphatic. God created man. In reading Genesis chapter 1, we learn that the Lord created the heaven, the earth, light, all animals, and man in 6 days. We read in Genesis 2:2, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Are we to understand that these were literal days, or were they representative of billions of years of the evolutionary process? The language of Genesis 1 is very instructive. For an example, let's read Genesis 1:31. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." We see that expression, "the evening and the morning," used 6 times in this chapter, indicating that these were literal 24-hour periods. So we can confidently state that the Lord created man in 1 day. In Genesis 2:7, the Lord gives us more detail about the creation of man. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So we see absolutely no evolutionary process. Man was formed from the dust of the ground, and the Lord filled his lungs with the breath of life, and man began to live. It is to this Creator that all men are accountable. We read in Ecclesiastes 12:1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." The Lord calls us to come to Himself when we are still young, before our hearts become hard towards Him. Man is the pinnacle of God's creation. Yet man has rebelled against the Lord by being disobedient to Him. Yet the Lord still loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinful man, that through faith in Him we might have the forgiveness of sins, become the children of God, and live forever in glory with Him. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows our rebellion and sin. In fact, we read in Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." We all will have to answer to the Lord one day. Would you rather have the Lord be your judge or your Savior? Salvation is the free gift of God that He offers to all, even though we all deserve to face His judgment. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have never accepted the Lord, I encourage you to put your faith in Him today for your salvation. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him."